So welcome to another episode of Confessions of a Serial Seller. When I decided to create this podcast, I wanted to interview not just any salespeople, but the best salespeople in the world. And my guest today is exactly that. Jason Forrest is the CEO of the FPG Group. His training methodology is voted in America the number one training company in all of America. And in fact, I believe, Jason, you actually voted number five in the world under global gurus, Grant Cardone being at the top pole position, which I'm sure you can get him off that list soon, right? But
that's the goal.
That's the goal, right? So, Jason, welcome to the show. I know you're joining
us. I'm glad to be here. This is going to be great.
Likewise. Thank you. And I know you're in sunny Texas at the moment. I assume it's sunny just by your polished tan. So tell, for my listeners, Jason, tell us a little bit how, you know, you weren't born a global great. Tell us how you got into the world of sales and really how you got to the level you now perform at.
Sure. So my whole life I've been in sales. My father owns a jewelry store in Dallas, Texas. And so I grew up in the sales world. My mom is a speech professor for the last 50 years. She just retired recently. And my Sunday school teacher was Zig Ziglar, the great motivational speaker.
Wow.
And so I had a kind of a trilogy of influences to really impact me. And so I've always wanted to be in sales. I never knew any other position besides that. My father always told me that you succeed or you fail, it's all on you. And sales is the position to do that. And so in my 20s, when I was 25 years old, I was the head of sales training for a Fortune 500 company. And I was very frustrated because I couldn't find any third-party vendors, any third-party training companies that I felt were created by top sales professionals. Yeah. And we've all heard the concept of those who can't do teach. And I felt that there was a lot of sales training organizations out there that weren't genuine.
Yeah,
they weren't real. And so I wanted to create a street selling program. And so I went off on my own and created FPG. And I had one vision, one mission, and that was to be the first sales training company that can actually change behavior created by a sales warrior, created by a top one percenter. $164 billion is spent every year on training, and 70% fails to achieve an ROI. And so I wanted to be the first company that could create a consistent track record of providing results for our clients to be in that 30%.
That's fantastic. I love the mission. And I'm astounded that 70% fails to achieve an ROI. So I love the whole premise of your being and you know, the sales warrior. I know we'll come to your books in a moment because I know you've written five books and one was a bestseller in 2019, The Mindset of a Sales Warrior was a number one bestseller. So I will come to that very shortly. I want to know what Zig Ziglar as a professor, wow. Right? And I've interviewed his son, Tom, on my podcast. What were your early observations and learnings from the great man himself?
I mean, he was all about mindset. He was all about process. He was all about being impeccable with your words. Some of the things that I teach today. So my focus is being, you must be truly great and impeccable and have the highest standards in three things, your mindset, process, and your language.
Yeah.
I would sit there and he was just really great at telling stories and getting you to think differently. You know, one of my favorite quotes comes from Wayne Dyer. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. If you change the way you look at selling yourself, relationships, objections, handling objections, all of it changes. And so it's all about changing your perspective. And so he was really great at a young age of just giving me a different way of seeing things.
I love that. What a great quote. I've not come across Wayne Dyer. What was his involvement in the world of sales?
Oh, he's not in the world of sales. So Wayne Dyer is a great, just a great philosopher. He's no longer with us right now.
Right.
But look up Wayne Dyer. He's all about, again, just all about our beliefs and changing our mindset. And he's very, very famous, very famous teacher and philosopher.
I'll look into that. I love that quote. So you mentioned there about, you know, really the mission was to change behaviors. I'm fascinated by that. Tell me a bit, how do you go about changing someone's behavior, and how important is that to be successful in sales?
Sure. So let's look at several variables. So that I could spend obviously many, many days just teaching this one concept. Let's look at several kind of variables or ingredients that we need to have to change behavior. So number one is that we must teach people how to do something, not just what and why to do something.
Yeah.
So often people sign up for some sort of seminar, some sort of book, some sort of class, and the instructor, the TED talker, will teach them what to do and why to do it, but they won't tell them how to do it. And then the sales professional, they leave feeling confused or frustrated because they agree with the idea. Yeah. They just don't know how to pull it off in the real world. So number one, we must chunk things down and make things very simple and strategic and how based.
Yeah.
Number two is everything that when people are learning something, they need to learn something both from a process. They need a process of how to do something, but they also need to know the language of how to do it. So it's not just, you know, when do you say a certain thing, but also when you're in that step of the process, what do you say?
Yes.
And how do you say it?
Yes.
And really working those tweaks. The third thing is everything needs to be mindset based. And so I developed a formula that I wrote about in my mindset book called performance equals knowledge minus leashes. And performance is what we do. Knowledge is what we've been taught to do. But we have to minus out any of the resistance, the head trash, the garbage that holds us back from executing. And so there's four types of leashes: self-image, I need to feel confident to pull this concept off. A story, you know, for example, a lot of people say, well, I can't do this right now because the coronavirus thing is going on. Okay, well, that's a story. And then a reluctance, some sort of fear. I don't want to come across too pushy, or you can't say that over the phone, or you can't say it over Zoom. That's a reluctance. And then last is a rule. And a rule is anything I need to see, feel, or hear to give myself permission to engage. And so every one of us, we have a certain set of self-images, of reluctances, of stories, of rules that really prevent us from executing. And so I'm all about not just giving people the tactical knowledge, which is, again, the process, the language, but also removing the mental leashes, the self-image, stories, reluctances, rules that hold them back from executing. And that push-pull relationship of giving the knowledge and removing the leashes is what drives performance. And the other trainers out there, I just don't think they've really nailed that. They focus too much on giving people the knowledge, but they don't remove the resistance that holds them back.
I love that. That's absolutely fascinating. So what's your... To change behavior, obviously we're talking about habits, right? I assume. How in your experience, how long does it take to change someone's habits, and what's the best way to go about that?
I mean, it's a great question. I mean, the philosophy has always been it takes 21 to 28 days to make or break a habit. Some people say it takes 90 days to change behavior. It takes several months to change beliefs. It takes a year to change a culture. I mean, these are some of these kind of norms that people have. I think people can decide, you know, when a person decides to change, they can change. So it's not really, you know, it takes 30 days to 90 days to do it. It's really just at the point of a decision. So when a person decides to do something different, they can change. So everyone who's listening right now, you know, if you decide to start a new habit, then you start a new habit.
I want to delve into this a little bit further, because I genuinely find this so fascinating. I remember learning from Jack Canfield, and I think you might tell me otherwise, he was like the creator of the E plus R equals O, I believe, right? For those of my listeners that don't know about that, is the outcome is not about what happens to you, it's about how you react to that is the outcome. But a lot of people will have bad shit happen in their world, right? But how do we just choose how we respond to that? Because maybe your behavior is you're normally a negative person and you always look at the worst in things. What's your best advice or strategies to change someone's outlook?
I mean, that's a great question. So I mean, there are several ways that you can kind of re-see things. So number one, you need to ask yourself, is it impossible to do blank in this certain circumstance? Is it impossible to give myself a 20% pay raise and sell 20% more in this circumstance? Yeah. Or is it just impossible for me?
That's a nice question. I like that.
Meaning, is there anyone else doing it?
Yeah. Yeah, very good point. Because I think that was, I don't know if you're aware of the Roger Bannister story. You heard of Roger Bannister?
Of course.
So the second he did it, right? 9 other people beat him in a matter of weeks, which I think goes to your point. Once people knew it was possible, it became possible in their world.
Yeah. So that's two questions people need to be always asking is it possible and am I capable?
Yes.
So we've already addressed the possible, and the possible one is, again, is there anyone else doing this?
Yes.
And the second question is, am I capable?
Yeah.
And look, that's a might be a more difficult question because people say, well, I don't know if I am capable. I don't know if I have the right processes, the right skills, the right mindset, the right language in order to do that. Well, the next thing you need to understand is need to have a new belief system, and your belief system needs to be that we're all doing the best we can with the resources we have.
Yeah.
And positive change always comes from adding more resources.
Yep.
So then if I was coaching you right now, and let's say, Tony, you said it to me, you said, I'm not sure, Jason, I'm capable. Then I would say, okay, well, what is something that you're truly great at right now?
Yep.
Maybe it's a sport. Maybe it's a certain subject from your past life in school. And you say, yeah, well, I'm phenomenal at tennis.
Yeah.
Great. Were you just born phenomenal at tennis?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, my parents put me in tennis, and you tell me this whole great story about how you learned how to be a great tennis player through your coaching and your resources and your effort and your desire. And okay, well, how does that compare to your the same formula? How does that compare to giving yourself a 20% pay raise today? And then you're going to say, well, it doesn't compare at all. Okay, well, then sounds like you need to apply the formula that made you a great tennis player to give yourself a 20% pay raise in sales.
Very clever. I love that. So I really, really love that. Actually, it's a very clever way of, it's a different way of looking at it. And I mean, you work with lots of corporates. I remember before we went live, you mentioned to me that you can work with some startups where, you know, they're, as the name suggests, up to $1 billion revenue organizations. So you must have seen a whole heap of salespeople of all levels. And I know your expertise, Jason, you focus obviously on mindset, process, and language. But in your valued opinion, what is the ingredients? What's the criteria in today's world to be super successful in sales?
I mean, just so I have an acronym called GUMP. So my last name is Forrest, and I'm sure Tony, you've probably seen the movie Forrest Gump.
One of my favorite movies.
Yeah. I want to run like the wind blows.
Yeah. Good impression.
As the famous line goes. So here's the acronym GUMP, G-U-M-P. So G stands for goal oriented. So a salesperson must be very clear every day they wake up. They must be very self-directed and managed, very clear on who is their target for today. Who is their sales target for today? You know, why is that their target? Why is that the one they're going after?
Yeah.
How? What's their strategy? How are they going to pursue and prospect and get that person on the phone? And where are they stuck? Do they need any coaching? Do they need any resources or support in order to move it forward? So G stands for again, that goal oriented. Most salespeople, unfortunately, don't have enough goal orientedness.
Yeah.
And so the manager has to tell them who to go after and why they should go after them and how to go after them. And so, but the top performers, they're very self-managed. U stands for unleashed. So again, that's unleashed of their stories, self-image, reluctances, and rules. They're unleashed of their fears. M stands for motivated. They have a high degree of psychological and physical energy to prospect even when they get ghosted.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ghosted means, right, they don't call you back. Absolutely. The prospect doesn't call you back. And that happens often. And so they've got to have enough energy to keep going. A lot of people might have big goals, but they don't have the right energy to continue on with those goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we know that a lot in the physical world, people have some goal to, you know, to run a marathon or do Spartan races, but they don't have enough energy to train for it.
Yes. Yes.
And then P stands for procedural based. So procedural based is one of the many meta patterns from neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro means brain, linguistic means our speech pattern. And what's been proven by science and psychology is the way that we speak to ourselves and others is a window into how we think, and how we think drives how we feel drives what we do, and what we do drives what we receive. And so procedural base is one of the meta patterns in the brain. So for example, if you go to a salesperson and say, hey, give me your sales process.
Yes.
And they say, well, it depends, Tony. And you go, it depends on what? And they go, it depends on the situation, the customer. That's not a procedural based salesperson. That's an option based salesperson.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, procedural based salespeople get predictable success.
Yeah.
Option based salespeople get option based success.
Love that.
An option based success is not good. That means you're dependent upon the coronavirus. You're dependent upon the government. You're dependent upon the economy, the market, the leads, marketing, whatever. But procedural based salespeople, they're very consistent. They follow up a predictable process, leads to predictable results.
Love that. So from everyone you've witnessed and coached and worked with, in your experience, they have those for the gump within them to have major success. So I know you've written 5 books, and your first, I know your number one bestseller was The Mindset of a Sales Warrior. So how vital is it to have the right mindset to be a sales warrior? And what some of maybe your 3 go-to tactics to get in the right frame of mind?
Great question. I mean, I think mindset's everything, right? Because, you know, if you look at a fun formula, we've all probably heard this before, that it's our psychology that holds us back more than anything else. It's our psychology, not our circumstances, that hold us back, you know, more than anything else. But, you know, if you write, everyone write down a formula right now as far as, okay, well, what's the formula for success? And we could say, okay, well, you know, any person, there's probably some bit of luck out there. And so let's just give 5% to luck, which I think is maybe an interesting thing to think about. And then what if we give, you know, what if we give 75% to mindset?
Yep.
And then that gives 20% left for skill.
Okay.
And so I think that's the formula that I think people should really break down is, you know, some people get luck. Some people have a lucky day, lucky customer, lucky situation. So we get about 5% to luck. You get about 20% to skill. You got to be a master at your skill, a master persuader, master at your process, master at your language. But it's 75% is the mindset, because if we think about it, we've seen people that have 20% skill. They've got phenomenal skills, but they don't have the right mindset.
Yeah.
Compared to people that have an impeccable mindset, but they don't really have maybe as strong of skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the mindset's really everything again, and it's about managing your fear. So here's a good example is the book that I wrote I wrote a book in 2020, a little small book. You can actually get it on Kindle right now. And it's How to Sell Through the Coronavirus.
I love it.
And I wrote it in March of 2020.
Love it.
So as soon as the coronavirus hit, I went to my team and I said, we've got 2 weeks to get a book put on Kindle.
Brilliant.
So we wrote a book, a little small book. You can read it in an hour, but it's a very quick book on mindset, process, and language on how to sell through uncertain times. Very quick, little pointers, very simple book to read. But the reason why I addressed it is because so many people on LinkedIn during that time were saying things like, hey, during this time of the coronavirus, stop selling and start helping.
Yeah.
So Tony, listen to those words. That presupposes that if I sell you something, I'm not helping you.
Yes.
Well, how successful do you think that salesperson's going to be that believes that if I sell you something, I'm doing something to you, not something for you?
Very good point.
So that's the internal resistance that holds people back. So I immediately wrote a book and said, this is crap. Yeah. I disagree with that, because if you looked at our stats going into the coronavirus, if you were an FPG client for 12 months prior to March of 2020, then 90% of our clients either met or exceeded their sales goals when the economy in 2020, in March of 2020, had one of the greatest layoffs in the last 100 years.
Yeah.
So if you weren't a client of ours, you were laying people off.
Yeah.
You were going bankrupt. You were losing your nest eggs and your fortune. Mm-hmm. But if you were a client of ours, then you were expanding, you were growing, you were hiring more people, making tons of money.
Yeah.
So if I sell you my service, then I truly am helping you.
Yeah. Very, it's very funny way of looking at it. I've never seen it that way, but I love that.
But you can see how that, impacts people, Tony.
Yeah.
You have two salespeople, right? Two salespeople, one salesperson who believes they're a warrior. Remember, a warrior is a protector.
Yeah.
A warrior is a first responder. A warrior is someone who runs to the burning building when everyone runs away from the burning building.
Yeah.
So you have a warrior that believes selling is noble and that to sell you is to help you.
Yes.
And then you have another salesperson that's competing against that warrior that believes to sell you is to not help you.
Yes.
Then who in the world is going to sell more?
Yeah. Really great point. Really great point. What would you say has been some of the best advice that you've personally received along your journey?
Oh man, so much, right? Because one of my two core beliefs, I have many core beliefs, but one of my top two core beliefs is our beliefs have more to do with our success than our abilities. Meaning we use our abilities to the point we believe is possible. And number two, the coaching along the way makes all the difference.
Mm.
So I believe I'm where I am today because of my coaching, because of being coachable, because of someone seeing more in me than I saw in myself and giving me a different way of seeing things, a provocative perspective.
Yes. So I take it you've been coached throughout your career and I assume still being coached?
I'm always being coached. I'm always being coached. Right now I've got a guy named Satyen who coaches me now. But I've also been coached by Steve Siebold, the author of Mental Toughness and just really great ones in the past. But I mean, so many things, you know, like I would say recently, you know, Satyen's very big about in life, you know, be careful that you need to embrace versus brace.
Hmm. Tell me more about that.
It's an interesting perspective, right? So think of brace is, you know, you think of two fighters in a UFC fight. And all of a sudden you've got fighter A that's the dominant fighter and starts pummeling fighter B.
Yeah.
And fighter B, what does fighter B do? It braces.
Yeah.
It starts to lean back and says, hey, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. They brace. But if you notice that if fighter B would instead embrace, which is lean in.
Yeah.
If they would lean into the discomfort and embrace versus brace, they'd have a better chance of actually getting through it.
Love that. What an amazing perspective. So we spoke about the global gurus, and I know Grant Cardone's currently pole position, and that's your goal, right? To knock him off.
He's number one, but again, I'm number five. And as my wife said very, very Mary Marshall Forrest, she's a phenomenal speaker. You can see she and I speak together on Mary and JasonForrest.com. So Mary and JasonForrest.com. And she's a phenomenal sales speaker. You should definitely have her on sometime. But she said the great Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort. I'm sure people have seen the movie Jordan Belfort. Well, he's number 19 on the list.
Really?
So Mary said, the warrior beat the wolf.
I love it. Love it. But I guess my question to you is, what does Grant have that maybe others don't to put him in that position?
I mean, look, I mean, I think Grant does a great job of keeping things very motivational. He always has a different perspective on things. You know, if you notice, I mean, here's the truth. The global gurus ranking system, the way they rank people is based on several criteria. You go to globalgurus.org and you can look up all the gurus.
Yeah.
But the way they rank them is, number one, based on relevancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who's most relevant on the times and what's going on? So for example, you know, my ranking went from the previous year, I think I was like, I don't know, 15 or something. And I went from 15 to 5. But again, I wrote a book on how to sell through the coronavirus during the coronavirus.
Most relevant.
So that helps the relevancy.
I see that.
And then the second thing is provocativeness.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to hear the same song over and over and over and over again. They want to hear something new and fresh and different.
Yeah.
And so if you can give a new outlook on things, a new fresh perspective, and that changes everything. So for example, for me, I don't study a lot of my competitors anymore. Because one, I don't want to have their information in my head and then get caught plagiarizing or something, saying something that they say.
Yeah.
So instead what I do is I study the people on the leading edge.
Yeah.
So for example, Wayne Dyer is considered to be one of the best religious philosophers that's out, spiritual philosophers, or Eckhart Tolle, one of the most spiritual philosophers out there. And so I study them. I study who are the best at changing behavior when it comes to addicts. So one of my certifications is in addiction counseling.
Wow.
And I went there and they said, you know, so what are you doing here? Because you're a business coach. And I said, well, if you can show me how to get a person off of crack, then I bet you I can understand the psychology of how to get sales professionals off of the dependency of lowering their price.
Love that.
To sell more.
I love that.
It's just an addiction. It's all it is.
Love that. And how, just on that,
And one of the things, go ahead.
How do you change someone who's that addicted to see things or feel things differently?
Well, one of the big lines that they tell you that we learn in this addiction certification is so important is that we're not addicted to our drinking. We're addicted to our thinking.
Nice line. Yeah.
So to me, that's the metaphor that we need to apply. So for example, if someone says, listen to the words. Words have meaning. Let's say the salesperson says, well, Tony, I can't sell anymore because.
Yeah.
Listen to the because. So after the because, do they A, say, I can't sell anymore, Tony, because of the coronavirus. I can't sell anymore because I don't have good marketing leads. I can't sell anymore because my price is too high. I can't sell anymore because the competitor has a better product offering than we have. I can't sell anymore because I have a horrible territory. Or do they sell, I can't sell anymore because I need to figure out a different process.
Yeah.
I need to figure out a different way to communicate our value because I believe our value is there. I just am getting beat by my competitor's value. My competitor's got a sales warrior out there that's a better cage fighter than me. I'm getting outfought.
So are they blaming an external or are they focusing on themselves or what they can change?
Correct. It's what Mary and I tell our kids every day. You are the problem and you are the solution.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been telling our kids that since they were 6 or 7 years old.
Love that. Are they warriors yet?
We hope so.
Yeah. I love that.
Hey, Tony, we're all warriors. We just have to unleash it from inside.
Yeah. I love
that. But it's just a warrior is just an archetype.
Yeah.
That's all it is. A warrior is an archetype, like a healer or a king or a queen.
Yeah.
They're just archetypes inside of us. We all have that inside of us.
Yeah.
We just have to unleash it. If you desire to, if you want it or don't want it.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to be the warrior. Some people want other people to go do the hard stuff and to be the warrior. They just want to step back and collect the checks.
Yeah, totally.
So if you want to collect the checks from someone else, then you're not a warrior. But if you want to be the one that's the master of your domain, the master of your life, and you're the problem, your solution, then unleash the warrior from within.
Love it. Jason, you mentioned a couple of your books. Where's the best place for my listeners to reach out, learn more about you or your partner, Mary? What's the best place to go?
Sure. The best place is, we always love to push people to Amazon. Amazon's a great place where we can always push more people to there so we can get the name out with our books. So I would definitely check out The Mindset of a Sales Warrior on Amazon. You could, of course, come to our website, fpg.com for Forest Performance Group. Please connect with me on LinkedIn. I always love to connect on LinkedIn. I will tell people that I try to post every day on LinkedIn. Personally, my company, FPG, posts about 5-6 times a day as far as different quotes and different ideas. My personal posts are my most leading edge concepts.
Brilliant.
So I use my LinkedIn feed as my personal diary, my personal blog, things that I'm working through. And so if you want to know the stuff that I'm working on before it goes to training, before it goes to a book, the real life trials and tribulations. That's my LinkedIn feed.
Love it. Love it. Jason, thank you so much for giving up your time. I know how busy you are. So I really appreciate it. I've learned loads. I've been scribbling notes every second you spoke. So thank you so much. And I know my listeners will also be so grateful. Keep safe, keep well, and look forward to speaking to you again.
Thanks, Tony.